This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To start the show, we talked about the popularity of, and this idea that the Browns want to try and diminish Shador mania. And there is a little bit of talking out of both sides of your mouth, right? Like, all right, we drafted him, the value's too good, and that dude's going to sell a butt ton of jerseys, and if he does anything in the NFL, is going to help us with our image problem. But also, we don't want to deal with that right now.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's funny. I don't know the kid's name, but it's somebody that does social media stuff for the Browns. He put out something on LinkedIn, I think it was, that I saw, and it was like talking about how they were the second most popular NFL team as far as social media impressions and all this. And he did it in a very, like, I drove this to happen. And I was like, Shador drove this to happen. Like, it's nice
I think,
that he got
I
there.
I think Gary on social media for the Browns, I think his creativity.
And it does some creative things.
In the
things.
Font he chose.
He does.
Tweeting about Shador Sanders was the difference.
Whoever that kid is, he had a great Judkins video the other day that I enjoyed. Like, it was clever. It was nicely done. I could have, you know, left the schedule video behind somewhere. But it was like, we know what happened
here. He didn't
do
that one. No.
That was somebody else.
That was crazy. Chris in social
it's
media.
It's not my guy, Gary. Clearly not my guy, Gary.
Gary would never put out a lame-ass schedule release video.
It was like, we all know what drove that, though. So, yeah, in many ways, like, they benefit a lot from what goes on with Shador while also doing what's currently going on.
Which then led us to the conversation about who's more popular in Cleveland right now, because all I've heard from the tried-and-true Brown fans that I know is, and again, we're a country folk, all right? So, there's, they like older quarterbacks, right? They like tall quarterbacks.
Is this also the group that Summers and Lodi?
Well, no, that was just me.
Okay.
We're like, Wadsworth's getting a little heavy right now for the 10-year-old. Let's send this one to Lodi to dry out. But the fact that, you know, older Browns fans tend to skew more excited about Joe Flacco, whereas the younger group tends to be excited about Shador. So we tweeted out, who is more popular in Cleveland right now, Shador or Joe Flacco? So I want to give you an update. 400 votes in, at Nick Wilson says.
Can we get our Afternoon Drive account to retweet this too, by the way?
I think we might have.
Okay.
Did you retweet it?
I didn't. I wasn't tagged in it, and I didn't seek it out.
Oh.
It's on the Afternoon Drive account too.
Oh, it is. Okay.
I can retweet it, though.
I think, because you got your shapologist that follow you as well.
You're right. If I'm going to boost this up for Shador, that's probably the right route that I have to go here.
But 51.3% of voters saying Joe Flacco is more popular, 48.7% saying Shador.
Yeah.
I'm a little blown away.
I have a hard time believing that earlier I said if you have every 50,000 people in the stadium, they get a ticket for one autograph each, and Joe Flacco's on one side of the football field and Shador's on the other side, that more people would go get Joe Flacco's autograph than Shador Sanders. Let's just drive it down to 50 people and the two are there. I have a hard time thinking that's the case.
I really can't wait to see jersey distribution. I mean, granted, Mayor Bibb made sure we couldn't do a tailgate down there last year, so wouldn't have been able to do this last year. We'll see about what's going forward. But again, let's worry about the local impacts here in business. But I would love to be able to just jersey count.
Well, some people are still going to have the Flacco jerseys from 2 years ago. So that will be a thing.
Do you think it will be even? You think we'll do one for one?
No, I don't.
You think Shador is going to put him to shame?
I expect a lot of Shador people to come up, fist bump me, and we do a...
Watch down.
We do wrists up, please, and we do some celebrations.
What do those celebrations look like?
Well, I mean, it's Sunday before a Browns game. We can let the hair down a little bit. We can get as wild as you want to.
Now, while we started the show by saying, you know, let's not just go ahead and anoint Joe the starter. It's not Joe versus Kenny yet, though it might grow to be that. Colin Coward of the Herd with Colin Coward is ready to call the quarterback competition over for the Cleveland Browns.
Justin, I've seen enough. I'm calling it a wrap. The Herd newsroom is calling it in Ohio by a landslide. Shador Sanders should be starting. We are calling Ohio. as the projected winner in a race that is not as close as the fake news projected. You can keep selling me on Pickett. You can keep selling me on Dylan Gabriel. Now, Flacco, I buy. Flacco, I like. He's one of my favorite guys that's ever played in the league. He's like, everybody likes Flacco, and I think he's going to win the starting job initially. I really like Flacco, but I'm calling it for Shadur.
For who?
Colin, come on, man.
Why are so many people struggling with the pronunciation of Shadur?
It's a hard name for a lot of people. We've gotten Shadur. Yeah. That was yours.
That was making fun of. That wasn't McLuhan. McLuhan did the Shadur. And then who initially did?
Diana.
Diana. Let's talk about Shadur. Don't you want to watch him play quarterback, Diana? Chase Daniel. Not good. However, I forgot every point he made because of the Shadur.
So basically what he's saying there is he doesn't believe in Kenny Pickett at all, which that tracks. He doesn't believe in Dylan Gabriel at all, which that tracks for a lot of us as well. He respects the hell out of Joe Flacco. It's why he thinks Joe Flacco will win the starting job to start the season, and then it'll be Shadur and it'll be off to the races.
It's the biggest couching of a sentiment, though, because he says, I'm ready to call the quarterback competition.
It was a fun line. I'm calling it for the state of Ohio.
But Joe's going to start week one. Oh, okay, then you're calling it for Joe Flacco, no?
I think he's calling it for Joe Flacco for the same thing that everyone else is, for 4, 5, 6 weeks, whatever that is, and then I think he thinks Shadur then takes over the job from there and doesn't give it up. I think that's what he was trying to say.
There's really only two camps right now. There are people who think Shadur is the fourth quarterback and he's got a non-existent chance of winning the job, and then there's a group of people who are like, the Browns, this is subterfuge, Shador's looked better. He's even looked better from when he did at rookie minicamps a week ago. Shador's going to be the starter. And it is wild to watch, even if Joe Flacco starts week one, it's wild to watch two camps. We're all getting the same information. We're all getting the same data information, right? Even the reporters who are watching Shadur or Dylan Gabriel. It's hard to really mispronounce Dylan Gabriel's name. Dylan Gabriel's. They're coming away with different things. It's kind of social media in 2025 where we're all getting the same information and we're making different. My point is, though,
the hard part, and I listened to the segment with Colin. He first started talking off about Shadur going 7 of 9, and he's like, anytime you have more touchdowns than you have incompletions, that's a pretty good day, wouldn't you say? And it's like, you can't use OTAs as the measuring stick here. Like you can't use what happened in a voluntary OTAs where he's throwing to third stringers as all of a sudden he's won it. I think he has very little belief in Kenny Pickett. That's what he was trying to tell you. And very little belief in Dylan Gabriel, which there's a lot of Browns fans that see it that exact same way. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like you see it that same way too.
Yeah, but I think my point is they still have good or decent chances to win the starting job. I personally, if it was, it would be between Flacco and it would be between Shadur because Kenny Pickett never would have been traded for. I would have already cut DTR and it would just be a three quarterback room. But getting back to the same information, different results and different inputs, different opinions. I think if you went to Kevin Stefanski, I think in his mind, the quarterback competition is Kenny Pickett versus Dylan Gabriel. And if neither of them do it, then it's Joe Flacco's
job. I don't think Colin's looking at it from any sort of information outside of just using the yesterday voluntary OTA stats. I think he's taking the big picture. Like, here's what we know about Shadur. He talked about how much he liked him at Colorado and how he had no offensive line, no run game, everything else associated with it, and how he's still playing against very tough teams, still was very, very productive. I think he's looking at that and saying, that's what I need to focus on. Forget the fifth round pick stuff. Forget everything else that happened in the slide, that should slide, that should drop, and take it for reality. Is someone with Shador's abilities and talent going to not be able to beat out Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel? And I think that's where when Colin turns around and is like, he's not losing to those guys.
I just think it's incredible. And listen, good radio. Colin does good radio. That's why
the Ohio stuff was great. We're calling it for the state of Ohio.
It did the fake news thing. That was timely.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was unexpected.
I mean, the fake news, the reference itself is like seven years old. But yeah, very timely. At the same point.
Can we not say fake news anymore?
Well, no, I just think if I wouldn't. If you're doing like a political thing, I don't think the president says fake news anymore.
It does. No, it feels dated. I'm with you. It feels a little dated, but it was funny. Fake news. Like he really
just
he
a lot of vocal stuff that Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, I liked it.
I just think it's asinine that there's any sort of listen.
I think he's just looking at it from a logical perspective, though. Like, do you really have a lot of belief Dylan Gabriel's that great at football?
No, but they do.
Do you have a lot of belief that Kenny Pickett's that great at football?
No, but they do.
And so, if you believe Shedeur Sanders is good at football, and you think then it comes down to him and Joe Flacco saying Flacco wins the starting job, and then Shedeur takes it over and then runs with it after that, is it's got to be the most logical conclusion you'd get to if you believe those things.
216-474-0092. Some are ready to call the Browns quarterback competition. I'm saying tomorrow will be day three of voluntary mini camps. Maybe let's slow our roll there. Big Nose driving around. What's up, Big Nose?
Coward, he's right. I think the kid, he's going to end up doing it. You know, when it's all said and done, Shedeur will be the one at winner. Shedeur.
Who?
That's our dude. Shedeur.
Who's
he's
that?
He's messing with you. Big Nose is messing with you.
Shedeur.
Ah.
I think he's messing with you. You did that intentionally, right, Big Nose?
Didn't get the bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, come on. What's the matter with you, Nick? Bad job out of you.
There's a lot of things. There. I mean, Big Nose, if we're getting started, buddy, there's a lot of things wrong with me. Be good, bud.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Big Nose. I thought he was going to – he almost did like an Akil Badu drop there.
Yeah. I think it was more that I just never heard Shedeur's name mispronounced that way, so I didn't get it was a bit at first.
Well, the more and more time we spend with Shedeur, the more and more people are going to mess it up in really, really magnificent ways.
I haven't heard
it.
Like,
shouldn't be that hard. I don't know.
Like, now, granted, it's Cleveland, and we mispronounce Mike Holmgren, but like I've never heard anyone nationally mispronounce Shedeur's name until the draft. I think it's a black flag against Shedeur. There's clearly some sort of like put on your tinfoil hat.
Listen, we all got Giannis Antetokounmpo right. It just took us a little bit. So I think
DJ Uiagalelei.
I think it's just a matter of time for some people.
Shedeur. Bob Nightingale, Odyssey MLB insider, tells us whether he thinks or he believes in the Guardians as a playoff team and what they're missing. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. To talk all things Guardians baseball, we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. And Bob Nightingale now joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bob, welcome to the show.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Well, it's great to have you here. I know it's early in the season. I think there are some people itching to make a declaration on whether the Guardians are a good enough team to be a playoff team or not. What are your early indications about where this Guardians team is in second place in this AL Central at 500?
Yeah, no, I think it's impressive where they are. I mean, it's certainly a tougher division than people thought. You know, you saw four teams with winning records, three teams, and you know, it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, Minnesota looked like they were done, and then they started playing good ball, you know, finally got healthy. So I mean, I think Detroit is the team to beat, and you know, we'll see what happens, but they had a great September last year and kind of a carryover.
The Guardians' starting pitching has taken some flack nationally as of late. Do you see their starting pitching as something that can turn around, especially if you add Bieber coming up here in a little bit and Means coming up here in a little bit, and maybe they do end up just kind of settling in?
No, I do for sure. I mean, you got those guys coming back, and yeah, there's a lot of teams that have, even the Dodgers, as good as they are, they got massive starting rotation problems. So, no, I think hey, you need a lot of depth. Those guys come up and give a blow to the others. You know, Class A is, you know, back pitching well. I think they'll be in the race, you know, all season long.
Bob, the offense in some metrics is ranked 32nd. Is ranked last, so 30th in baseball. The starting rotation across the totality of the regular season is ranked 23rd. The bullpen's quite good again, maybe not where it was last year. So when we start to look at the three parts of the team here, which part of the team do you think you can count on, or we can count on, being better down the stretch for this Guardians team?
Well, I think certainly offensively it'll be better. Yeah, I just think guys have been banged up, and you know, once they get their footing and stuff, you know, it should be a solid offensive team. you know, much like a year ago. And I think they'll be hanging around. Like I said, I still think it's the Tigers division to lose, but there's no reason why, you know, they can't get a wild card spot. And these days, it really doesn't matter if we have a wild card spot or win the division.
Is Stephen Kwan worth a $100 million deal?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
As high. I'm not sure to go that high. The only reason I say that is what Pete Crow Armstrong was just offered, $65 million. And, you'd definitely take Crow Armstrong over. So I think that's on the high side for him. He's a very good player and stuff, and hey, it's not our money. So, but I think if he got that, he would jump on it.
Bob Nightingale on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We had another host in our station yesterday, and this was before the Guardians picked up the dub at the end of it, but just with the way the Guardians had a rough little stretch there, he felt like Jose was going to be a cautionary tale of wasting a player, a great player's prime, given that the Guardians have not won a World Series with Jose, even though they were in 2016 and have had a couple nice deep playoff runs the last couple of years. I'm curious, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's like saying you're wasting Aaron Judge. I mean, they haven't won a World Series either, but they're in the playoffs year after year. For what he's done, the contract he took, and everything else, I mean, he's been worth his weight in gold. And, it's not like a situation where Felix Hernandez is like couldn't get any wins in Seattle because they have no run support and that sort of thing. So no, just the fact, if they weren't making the playoffs, it'd be a different story. You know, if Paul Skeens is in Pittsburgh for 6 years and they don't make the playoffs, it's you feel sorry for Skeens wasting those years. But I don't think it's been a waste at all. I mean, it's been a goldmine having Ramirez, particularly to that size of contract.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, I just don't look at it like it's win a World Series. It's the only way you justify it, right? I mean, Ichiro went to 2 postseason series. Tony Gwynn went to 2 World Series, but Tony Gwynn played in, 3 postseasons? And I think he had a 12-year stretch there. We didn't play in a single postseason series. Like, it's not necessarily about winning just the World Series. It's about going to the playoffs and consistently being a playoff threat, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. I mean, look at Mike Trout. It's been in 1 postseason series. Didn't win a game. Got shut out and got knocked out in 3 games, and that was it. So no, to be back in the playoffs year after year, as they've been knocking the door, having up 3 games to 1 in 2016, on the verge of winning a World Series. So no, I don't consider it a waste at all, just because anything can happen in the postseason. I mean, of all the talk with the Dodgers and stuff, their only full World Series championship in a full season, what was last year, since 1988.
Bob, asked Tigers ace Tarek Skubal just annihilated the Guardians on Sunday. As a matter of fact, that was his first complete game of his career in the big leagues. And afterwards, he said that he actually wants more long outings. Do you think that's something the Tigers would be willing to give him, or do you think in the era of arm issues, they're going to be protective of him?
No, I think if he wants to go, long, and it's more of a mindset thing, why not let him go, and go away, complete games like he did last time. He only threw 94 pitches. Is that like, hey, he's not going to go 150 pitches or 140, but if he can get complete games, you help the team so much. Like when Justin Verlander won the MVP for the Tigers, he was helping the team in 3 different games. The one he pitched, the one before where you could blow out the bullpen, and the one after where you have a, the rest of the bullpen. So, you know, you're affecting a lot more than just the games you start.
Bob, obviously, you know, I'll give credence to what the Yankees are doing right now, and I'll acknowledge even on the in what the Tigers are doing too. They're a great team, but it seems like the American League is just a little bit behind the National League this year. It seems like the National League has all the very best teams. How do you think we got to a spot where it feels like more teams are deeper and they're better and they're just stronger on the NL side?
Yeah, just you know, I think it's kind of a cyclical thing, but I don't remember the National League being this much stronger than the American League for quite some time. I think the AL East is the weakest it's been in decades. So, yeah, I mean, just all the big money was spent, whether it was in New York or with the Dodgers. I mean, even the Arizona Diamondbacks, I mean, they poured out a ton of money just to keep up with the Dodgers and the Giants and everything else. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're a team, you want to be in the AL these days just because the National League is so strong. I mean, NL Central is still, you know, is still weak. But, you know, the Cubs are a very good team, and the Cardinals are kind of playing out their mind right now.
Bob, looking to what has been talked about a lot, but maybe not widely understood as of yet, there's been a lot of talk about a work stoppage after this season. And some fans, like myself, who I get very frustrated with a competitive environment where there's just haves and have-nots in baseball. And it's frustrating. We're in a good spot with a situation that relatively consistently wins, but to a point, right? Because of the way baseball economics go, if there is a potential work stoppage, is that the point of it, or is there another point of what could happen in a year's time or after this season?
Well, yeah, it's actually after next season, because that's when the CBA is up. So you still got 2 years of uninterrupted play. I mean, I don't foresee the players going on strike and like they did in 94, like before next year's World Series. So you got 2 years. But, yeah, you know, owners are kind of complaining with each other. It's not really the players. It's the owners saying, hey, we need a, closer payroll parity. You know, they want a luxury tax, if not a salary cap. If not for a salary cap, you know, make it more painful if you go over that threshold, because right now it's not stopping the Dodgers or we're in the mess with the Yankees. They'll gladly pay it. Now, if you take away drop picks, that might be a different story. And on the flip end, you know, the players say, you know, wait a minute now, let's have a floor here. You know, it shouldn't be like the Pittsburgh Pirates and Athletics and Tampa Bay making all this money and revenue sharing and not putting it back into the team.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, you mentioned the Pirates. Like, it's a real problem in baseball when someone like Paul Skenes can be great. And whether they trade him or don't is obviously another layer of this. But the conversation for Pirates fans is, should we get rid of him now because, well, 6 years from now, he's going to be gone anyway. Kind of like what happened with the Guardians and Francisco Lindor in many ways, which just shouldn't happen.
Yeah, you can't trade Paul Skenes. You want to talk about it, you know, 4 years from now before he's a free agent, or, you know, maybe even, you know, 3.5 years, you know, okay, but not now. It just means way too much to the franchise. And, you know, I think the fans would just go ballistic and revolt if something like that happened. So no, you got to market him and use him and be a reason for, you know what, I want to come watch the Pirates, particularly on the days he pitches. So you remember now, all you're getting back is prospects. Remember the Red Sox trade away Mookie Betts. Says, oh, look at the return Mookie Betts. But there's nobody left in the Mookie Betts trade. It was a complete disaster for the Red Sox. You know, how many of these prospects just never make it? So I don't see the Pirates doing that at all. It'd be years from now. I mean, I think the fans would just go ballistic if that happened.
Bob, little birdie tells me you have a Cameo account. What kind of requests you get for your Cameo account there?
It used to be a lot. Now it's more like fantasy type drafts, really. Like you're announcing that or birthdays, that sort of thing. So mostly that type of thing. Maybe someone's going through a hard time as far as health wise, kind of a pick me up type thing. But yeah, it's just once in a while. That's not like I ever advertising or tried to do a lot of it. But yeah, just more of a fun thing.
You ever have a weird request?
Sometimes with they want me to kind of rip a team or someone's fancy thing, like, okay, you're trashing a player. So yeah, I won't do that.
You send those our way, Bob. We'll take care of that for you.
If it's a good natured thing, that's fine.
So you're too classy to do that.
Yeah, we're not
so
at all.
So what if we'd like we'll get you get like a finder's fee, and then you'll be like, hey, I'm very classy. I don't rip, but here's my friends Nick and Jonathan, and then we'll like, just
I couldn't possibly, but Nick and Jonathan, they got thoughts. And you want to talk about Skeens being traded? They can do Skeens being traded.
And then you finish the video by saying thank you, Nick and Jonathan, and thank you for your patronage. And then we just, you know, if it's $45, you get your 25. We'll take 20. How about that?
Not a bad deal. Above board. I mean, with the Paul Skeens thing, hey, that trade talk's been out there. But yeah, I just can't say, hey, they got to do it. They're complete morons. That sort of thing.
Oh, that's so, my favorite. That's thing where to we do, come Bob. In, Bob. Yeah, that we really like, especially that M word. We're all about that M word.
That's great talk show fodder. Exactly.
Bob, great stuff. Much appreciated.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bob Nightingale there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I don't think he'll be taking us up on our offer. That was Odyssey. MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solution for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I think that would be, honestly, like that would be just like my highlight of my day if I could make $45 a pop.
Yeah.
And people are just
doing
like,
cameo?
Give us your take on Johnny Manziel. Let me tell you about this jerk. I wouldn't call him that, of course.
I think you'd be
or
great at cameo.
Would I?
I don't. Nobody does that, but like you could totally do the, hey, we have 10 names and we need to have a fantasy football drawing and you're going to announce each one of them and then make jokes along the way.
Yeah.
You'd be great at that.
I would be willing to. I just don't think people actually want that.
Well, the worst thing is to have a cameo and then to have it exist out there and not really many people actually buy the cameo and it just kind of sits on your profile.
So this is a great point. I would need one cameo a week to not feel like a loser.
So when people go on it, they can click on it and see like you've actually done them before. Like I clicked on Bob's and I'm like, oh, Bob's got some people that have actually done it.
Yep.
That's what you need.
I would, you know what kind of cameo I'd love?
What's that?
I'd like a spite cameo where I just tell people like, hey, Mike, hey, yeah, your coworker Tim, he thinks you're a chotch, and you gotta stop eating his food in the refrigerator. I don't know what kind of monster you are. You're not quite a Menendez brother, but Bob, for the love of God, if you eat this man's food, I don't even remember his name. Yeah. But if you eat this man's food again, I'm going to show up to your place of work with a sock filled with bricks of soap, and I will end you myself. Love you, buddy. So great to see you.
And you said love you at the end, so it's not even threatening.
Yeah.
It feels
takes
like...
takes the sting out.
I feel like you'd be the type of person people would hire if they're like, I want to get out of this relationship. And so they're going to hire you, and then they'll be like, yeah, so Nick, you just give you the details, give you why this person sucks, and then you're just going to make a video.
Hillary, you complained the entire way to and from Jamaica. We paid for everything. You kind of just lay there like a fish, like hit the bricks, okay?
And they get really specific, though. But the real deal breaker is you didn't like Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
And if you don't like Reservoir Dogs, I don't know how I can even be with you.
It's such a good point. I don't want to break up with you if it's just, oh, it's not you, it's me. No. It is you. It's not them. And here's why.
Yeah, well, you don't hire a cameo to be like, hey, you're great. It's not you. It's me. No.
Some people would. They're outsourcing their own cowardice.
It hired you to go ahead and really just lay it down there.
Yeah.
Lay it all on the line.
God, I'd love to retire on that. 216-474-0092. We got to react to what Bob Nightingale said about your Guardians in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think he's got a great career. I think he does great work for us.
He's doing great.
I mean, I actually think the honest and obvious response is to the question of which part of the team can you count on being better down the stretch. It has to be the offense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And that just has to be like, I actually do buy into the injury issues even now with Lane Thomas and Stephen Kwan banged up.
Yeah.
I think Nolan Jones is still working back from whatever he was suffering through last year, which hampered his season. I kind of buy that this team can get healthier, and whether it's reinforcements or just guys who are currently here playing better, I think you will be better than the worst offense in baseball in some key metrics.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the reinforcement side of things. What's interesting to me about it is that we could go either direction, and I can't tell you you're wrong. Like, if you told me the Guardians have only 11 quality starts in the entire season, which is next to last in baseball in that category, they are in the bottom 10 in ERA and all sorts of other pitching categories. But yeah, starting pitching will get better when Bieber all of a sudden enters the equation, and when you solidify the 1-5 just a little bit more, it's gonna have to. And I would expect Gavin Williams would get better. I would expect Tanner Bibee would get better. They've shown signs of it as of late, and so you could easily make that case the same way you could say the offense just has to be better than what it was.
It's funny. I think all three phases are going to be better. I think that's been like when people talk about, or when we react to, you know, you'd lost the Sunday game and then the first two games of the Tiger series or the Dodger series, and people just had this massive reaction. And I'm not trying to small sample size or, you know, recency. I'm not trying to do any of that, but I've just continued to look of like, you haven't really played particularly well at any phase of the game, including defense, right, which we've completely neglected. And yet you're five games above 500. And I think like you saw, like, we can now all of a sudden we do have something to even combat this idea that this is all schedule based, because you took three or four from Detroit and then you salvaged not getting swept by the Dodgers. But you were very competitive in that last game. So my point is,
the come from behind win almost feels like it counts for two, right?
You took four of seven from two of the best teams in baseball.
Just a little bit more. And we'll see what happens when we take on the Yankees after this Angels series too. So there'll be another feather in our cap, hopefully. I feel like things are headed in the right direction. But I think Bob's right. They're a playoff team. They're not expected to be anything more than that as of right now, which is actually a really decent spot to enter a baseball postseason where you don't have a lot of weight on your shoulders necessarily. People aren't expecting a ton. I think a lot of people know the Guardians' best years are a year, 2 years away as opposed to right now, and you're building towards something. Like, this is not a bad spot to be in at all.
And I just, you know, we compared this so much to 2022. And that was a year where you came in with no expectations, year one or year 1.5 of a rebuild, and your opening day lineup had like Bobby Bradley in it and all these other dudes. And then by the time they got to like late June, early July, they kind of worked through who was going to be here and who wasn't going to be here. And the team kind of took off. And the difference at that point is you could fall back on an elite rotation and a really good bullpen. Even the bullpen hasn't been elite. It's actually been better than I think people realize.
It's gotten a better stretch over the past 3-4 weeks or so.
But like,
Class A's settled down.
Same thing with the rotation, by the way. So like, if you just look at the rotation stats, you're thinking, oh, 23rd in baseball in terms of rotation work. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at who they've been the last 3 to 4 weeks. So it's funny, like, I think you should be like exceedingly optimistic about where this team is going, and that's even before we get to reinforcements. Like, I think Angel Martinez playing every day is going to open up some things for you because he's a really nice young hitter. I think Schneeman has solidified second base even if he doesn't play there every day. Santana's heating up. Still don't know what's going on with Manzardo. Bo is giving you power here recently. So I think there's a lot of signs even before we get to, all right, do you need another outfielder? Do you need to trade for somebody? I really think this team, it would not surprise me if this team just suddenly took off at some point in the next 6 weeks and they went from five games above 500 to truly threatening the Tigers for this division.
You know, it's interesting because when we talk about this offense, we talk about the lack of power and we go through and you go through the lineup right there and you mentioned the certain players. It's like, well, the real problem right now is you have your right field you're getting nothing out of offensively, and the two spot, whoever hits in the two spot seems like that's a black hole as well. But it's not like this laundry list of, I mean, years past, and you mentioned 2022, for instance, where you'd have like 6, 7, 8, 9 in that lineup, and it was just four automatic outs once you got there. This Guardians team doesn't necessarily have that. They don't have the biggest bats in the world. They don't have the most pop in the world, but it's not just a complete black hole for the bottom part.
Well, and even with Bo, Bo isn't the hitter that Austin Hedges was in 2022. Like, Bo has really competitive at-bats, and Bo has a power component. Like, if Bo hits 200, and he's right around 200 right now, and hits 25 home runs and he has consistent quality at bats, it's actually not a black hole at the bottom of your lineup.
No, and I told you this the other day. I was looking at some of the advanced numbers with him relative to league-wide for catchers and how they're hitting, and he's right at 15th in, but it was like six different categories. He's a league-average hitting catcher right now, which is really all you need when he gives you so much pluses defensively.
So I think the lineup is the obvious spot, and I think we're already seeing it with the rotation. I think the bullpen might have another surge in them now that Class A is all the way back. This is shaping up to be a really, really fun summer. And honestly, it kind of breaks the cycle that the Guardians have been in one on, one off. And I don't want to say it's like a miracle that they're five games above 500, because everything I've said, well, if these things don't happen, they might be a 500 team.
Don't confuse it for it either. No one's saying they're a juggernaut.
Yeah.
You're not a juggernaut. But also in this American League that currently right now seems like nobody outside of the Tigers or the Yankees are trying to take some sort of claim of being the best team in the American League. It just feels very, very wide open. It's a pretty good spot to be in.
And here's the thing. I don't know there are too many teams in the AL that can hold court with the Dodgers or the Padres or even the Braves in the World Series. But you can still get there. Right? Like, I think the AL is wide open, and much like last year, where it felt like any of the teams that made the playoffs could go to the World Series, in the AL at least, I think the same thing applies this year.
Even a team like right now, legitimately, I would say more baseball fans than not, if you don't think it's the Dodgers, you think it's the Phillies are the best team in baseball right now. And the Phillies have so many different rotation issues to deal, like all these guys do. It's incredible how flawed even some of the best teams are. But beside that, the American League in and of itself has so many opportunities for the Guardians.
Which part of this Guardians team can you count on being better down the stretch, or are you counting on being better down the stretch? The Lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.